Today, another housing record set. Hello again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today we look at the latest data from the RBA and APRA on lending for June and the building approvals for last month. And a warning, the mainstream media are likely to grab on headlines like building approvals bounce strongly or investor housing lending crashes, but neither of these is true. And by the way, if you value the content we produce, please do consider joining our Patreon program where you can support our ability to continue to make great content. Here is the link. It's also in the comments below. Let's start with building approvals. The number of dwellings approved in Australia rose by just 0.1% in June 2018 in trend terms, according to data released by the ABS today. Now, we suspect the mainstream media will fixate on the less reliable seasonal results, which showed a significant bounce in approvals. Among the states and territories, dwelling approvals rose in June in the Australian Capital Territory at 5.8%, South Australia at 5.6%, the Northern Territory at 4.8%, Tasmania at 2.2%, Western Australia at 1.7%, and New South Wales just 0.2% in trend terms. Dwelling approvals fell in trend terms in Queensland, down 1.6%, and in Victoria, down 1.2%. Private sector house approvals fell in Western Australia, down 1.4%, Victoria, down 0.8%, and New South Wales, down 0.8%, but rose in South Australia, up 0.4%. Private house approvals were flat in Queensland. In seasonally adjusted terms, total dwellings rose by 6.4% in June, driven by a 7.2% increase in private dwellings excluding houses. Private houses rose 5% in seasonally adjusted terms. The value of total buildings approved fell 0.8% in June in trend terms and has fallen for 7 months. And the value of residential buildings rose 0.3%, while non-residential buildings fell 2.9%. So in summary, approvals are still well below their recent highs, and it's likely this trend will continue as demand tails off. Next, to the latest data from APRA, the monthly banking statistics to June 2018, which shows that the banks are still busy lending for home loans. Total balances rose in the month by $9.2 billion to $1.64 trillion. Within that, lending for owner-occupied housing rose $7.1 billion, up 0.68% to $1.08 trillion, and lending for investment property rose 0.38% to $558 billion. Investment lending comprised 34% of the portfolio and fell slightly as a result. The trend growth over the months is in fact accelerating. Total credit is still growing at an annualised rate of 6.7%, which is scary when incomes and CPI are circa 2%, and we have some of the highest debt-to-income ratios globally. Looking at the individual lenders' portfolio movements, we see that Westpac has been focusing on owner-occupied lending growth, while their investor balances fell a little, a similar pattern to the ANZ. On the other hand, both CBA and NAB grew their investor loan books, having given up share in recent months, but Macquarie Bank lifted their investor loan book significantly. Overall, shares did not move much in the month, with CBA still the largest owner-occupied lender and Westpac the largest investment loan lender. We've also updated our annual portfolio movements for the investor lending, despite the APRA 10% speed limit no longer being relevant. And we see that Macquarie shows the strongest growth in investor lending alongside AMP Bank and some of the smaller players. The market annual effective growth rate for investor lending is 0.96%. ANZ and CBA are in negative territory across the last 12 months. So in summary, home lending from the ADIs is alive and well, which given the current falls in home prices is a concern, but many households are refinancing to lower cost loans, taking advantage of the wide range of deals out there for some. But investment lending remains in the doldrums, if a little off its lows. Clearly, regulators are betting that income growth will snap back up, allowing for households to service their massive debt burden. But as prices fall for the straight 10th month, and all else being equal, it's hard to see an easy way out of the debt bomb. And so finally to the RBA, who released their credit aggregates to June 2018 today. Overall credit grew 0.3% in the month to $2.84 trillion, up $9.7 billion to a new record. Within that, owner-occupied housing lending rose 0.6%, or 6.6 billion to 1.18 trillion, while investment lending fell $800 million, down 0.1% in seasonally adjusted terms, or rose $1 billion, up 0.2% in original terms. I've no idea what adjustments the RBA makes. It's not disclosed. Investment lending fell to 33.5% of the portfolio. Total lending for housing is now at a new record, 1.77 trillion. And remember that this is at a time when housing debt to income is knocking on the 200 door, and we are one of the most in debt nations on the planet. Lest we forget, loans need to be repaid eventually. Business lending in seasonal terms rose 0.4%, up $4.1 billion to $921 billion, and fell to 32.2% of all lending. So we see a continued fall in the proportion of lending for business as opposed for housing, which is not good. Personal credit rose $600 million, up 0.4% in original terms, or fell $300 million in seasonally adjusted terms, down 0.2%. The monthly seasonal adjusted numbers highlight the slide in investment lending and the stronger owner-occupied lending. Finally, we also estimate the growth in non-bank lending by taking the original RBA data and comparing it with the ADI data from APRA, which is also out today. In essence, the relative share of home lending going to the non-banks is rising to around 7% of all loans, and the bulk of the loans being written are for owner-occupied borrowers. A caveat here, the non-bank sector of the data will always be a bit off because there is less timely data captured from this small but growing part of the market, something which APRA needs to address. More of the old, same old, same old. Housing lending still growing way above inflation and wages, forcing household debt higher at the expense of business investment. We have not fundamentally addressed the credit elephant in the room, despite all the noise. Perhaps the regulators would like to tell us how much debt is too much. We clearly have not hit their pain threshold yet, despite the rising household financial stress in many households. Now, that is a worry. If you like what you've heard here today, please share and like the post and add a comment or question. And if you want to join the Growing Band of subscribers who receive alerts when we release new posts, do subscribe now. I'm Martin North, the Principal Analyst at Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for listening. I'll talk to you again next time.